once again. It's Bunty's Boxing Podcast from William Hill. Some good fights to look forward to this weekend. And the big news, Bunty, that we all thought it would be someone else other than Cal Brook lining up against Gennady Golovkin. But what a fight we've got in store here, eh? Finally, he's fighting someone big time.
What a proper fight after some basically very routine defences became increasingly low profile. Cal Brook stepped out, no marched out, no catapulted out, cannoned out of the shadows for a fight with Gennady Golovkin. We all did think, as you say, it was going to be Chris Eubank Jr. He had a deal on the table. The deal he failed to agree is the exact deal that Cal Brook agreed in a couple of hours. Same amount of money, same percentage of the pay-per-view. It sold out. We always knew it was going to sell out. It'll do great business. Cal Brook stepping up a couple of weights, but forget that. Cal Brook on the night will be heavier and he will be bigger because Cal Brook really isn't a welterweight. He's about a middleweight anyway. It's a great fight, a phenomenal fight. Will Cal Brook add his name to that impressive list of stoppages? 32 so far, 35 fights, 22 consecutive stopouts, 17 of them world title fight stoppages for Mr. Golovkin. I don't think he will. I think Kell's going to take in the distance and I think it's going to be a lot closer than anybody right now is imagining. Right. Great fight.
Yes. The odds at the minute, Golovkin is 1-6. Brook is 4-1. The draw 25-1. Obviously, we haven't got any kind of the method of result at the moment, but big outsider there in boxing terms, isn't he, Buncey?
Big outsider. I think those odds are going to shorten. I'm not saying Kell's going to become the favourite, don't get me wrong, but I think those odds will shorten. I think this is a lot harder fight. Cal Brook is the kind of guy that's always going to cause problems for Golovkin. And I tell you what, he's actually going to go out to win, not to survive. He's actually going to go out to win, not just to get through for some rounds. And you know what? When was the last time that happened?
No, I can't wait. It's one of those fights that's really kind of wet the appetite,
brilliant,
hasn't it? It should be great. We've got another superstar on these shores this weekend. But let's start off a little bit earlier on the bill, shall we? Shall we have a look at the Terry Flanagan fight first, Bunty? Flanagan's fighting Nzonke Fana. Flanagan's record is 30-0, of course, 12 stoppages, and this is for the WBO World Lightweight title, of course, which Flanagan owns. He's 1-100, Bunty, which probably don't need to say much more than that, because the South African Fana is 38-9. He's been stopped twice himself. A bit of a checkered record over recent years, isn't he? He kind of wins a couple, loses, but 1-100, Bunty. Very short indeed, that for Flanagan, isn't it? 16-1 for Fana. You've got round by round, we've got method of result, we've got group round betting, plenty to go out here.
Well, we've had a world title fight earlier this year where the challenger was 1-85. So I suppose 16-1 is not the end of the world, to be perfectly honest, if you look at it that way. Those are ridiculous odds. He is a massive favourite here, Flanagan. This was meant to be on the undercard, obviously, of Vladimir Klitschko against Tyson Fury from last weekend, which fell out about a couple of weeks ago. Flanagan will win, don't get me wrong, but I think until he wins in about 5 or 6 rounds, it'll be a fairly competitive fight, because that's what Fana at 42 and the rest, that's what he's about. He's about giving people competitive fights. Last time he was stopped was a couple of years ago by Paulus Moses, who we've seen in various world title fights. Fana was a world champion, but that was going back to 2008, so 8 years ago. And that was down at Super Feather. He's a little bit long in the tooth and he's a little bit seasoned. He's a little bit beaten up in some ways. But he's tough and he's hard and he'll give it a go. And he'll be there for 4 or 5 rounds. And I just imagine, my gut feeling is that Flanagan gets to him by about the 6th or 7th round. Maybe 5, 6, 7. So those odds, you know, whilst I'm trying to say they're a little bit small, at the same time, I cannot see any way that Flanagan loses.
Yeah, Flanagan in rounds 4, 5 or 6 is 2-1. 7, 8 or 9 is 11-4. The individual rounds are all around the kind of 7, 8 to 1 mark. So, he's 1-6 to win by stoppage, Bunty. So there's not a lot of value anywhere to find.
There is not a lot of value. I mean, you know, we're talking, this is like an undercard mismatch style odds, for God's sake. Now, listen, take that. Flanagan, 5, 6, 7, something like that. I think, yeah, I think, you know, you can nick a couple of quid there. Not a lot, though. Not a lot. I ain't offering a lot on this sunny day.
And let's have a look at some of the other fights on that that same card, shall we? Let's move to the Liam Williams Gary Corcoran fight. This is for the Commonwealth Super Welterweight title and the British Super Welterweight title. All these fights, of course, taking place at the Ice Arena in Cardiff on Box Nation. The odds for this one, a little bit tighter, but not a lot. Gary Corcoran is 5-2. It's 22-1 the draw. Liam Williams is 100-30 on here, Buncey. Williams' record reads 14-1 draw. 9 stoppages in his record, of course. The draw was back in 2013 against Tian Booth. His opponent, his record is 15-0. And he's got 6 stoppages in his run as well. Good fight, this one. Should it be as lopsided in the betting, do you think, towards Williams?
No, it's a 50. It's a 51-49, a 49-51. I'm staggered that people think this is in any way routine. What's really interesting is, speaking to Gary Lockett, who I've known a long while, and speaking to Peter Stanley, who looks after Corcoran, both the trainers think it's an easy fight for their fighter. The fighters, you know, whilst they're trying to be, you know, trying to be mildly civil, although a lot of bad blood did break out when it was first announced over a misunderstanding, but the fighters themselves think it's an easy fight. I'm staggered that even Kemp thinks it's easy. I'm absolutely amazed that even Kemp thinks it's easy. Williams on a good run, 6 stoppages at the moment, 6 stoppages on the spin. Now, you know, basically he's got 9 stoppages and 6 of them are coming in his last 6 fights. Corcoran has had 3 consecutive 10-rounders. He's barely lost a round in those 10. I've seen 2 of them live and 1 of them I watched on tape. And I'll be honest with you, of the 30 completed rounds, I think he probably won 28 rounds. He's extremely seasoned, extremely tough. And what he showed in some of those 10-rounders, especially the last one in about March of this year, is he showed a variety and a versatility that Gary Lockett and Liam Williams do not think he possesses. And I have a feeling here, I'm not certain how it ends, because as I say, it's a 49-51 fight. But I'm stunned that Eva Kemp thinks it's easy. Gary Lockett seems to think that Liam Williams is just going to walk through him, hit him a few times with big right hands, and then take him out of a couple of shots to the body. I don't see that happening. There's no suggestion that's going to happen. Gary Corcoran has won junior titles, senior titles as an amateur, boxed for England. I mean, he was a seasoned amateur before he became what is developing into a very seasoned pro. Liam Williams himself had stints up at the GB headquarters, the amateur boxing headquarters in Sheffield. So he's not going to fall over. Gary Corcoran and his people, they simply think that Liam Williams doesn't have enough variety. He's a little bit flat-footed. He's a little bit predictable. He's never been pushed back. He's never had to work. And some of those things might be true. This is a cracking fight. 2 titles, Commonwealth and British light middleweight belt, and refuse to stay super welter. They are on the line. This is a potential domestic fight of the year. And even if it ended in 5 rounds after a terrible bloodbath brawl, it will be a close and tight bloodbath and brawl. I would be amazed if Williams dominates it and stops Corcoran in 6 or 7, which is what the Williams camp think. And I'd be stunned if Williams falls into all of Corcoran's traps and finds himself outpointed comfortably. I'm going to go for Williams to win, but to win really controversially on points in a really tight fight.
Okay, Williams on points is 9-4, so a little bit of value there. It should be a cracking domestic one, that one.
It is a genuine fight.
A great night to be at this arena, and if you can't be there to watch it on telly, because Guillermo Rigondeaux versus James Dickens, Jazza Dickens, is a great fight. I mean, fair play to Guillermo Rigondeaux. No one really wants to fight him. This is the guy, of course, who won the gold medal at the 2000 and 2004 Olympics. 374-12 is amateur record, they say. 7 Cuban national championships, 2 amateur world championships, and said by many, Buncey, to be one of the all-time great amateur fighters. You love your amateur fighting. Is that an accolade he should have?
Well, let me put it this way. I think he's one of the top 2 or 3 best Cubans ever, and that probably means he's one of the top 2 or 3 best fighters ever. My pal, who's a Cuban expert, said that the debate in Cuba is whether it's Rigondo or Mario Kindelan, a triple Olympic champion, I believe, right. The guy that beat Amir Khan in the final in 2004. So that's the debate in Cuba, whether the greatest Cuban is Mario Kindelan or Guillermo Rigondo. What my friend said to me is that the real purists say it's no competition. Rigondo, they officially think, most people I know really know their boxing, and I'm not going to disagree with them, really know their amateur boxing, really know their Cuban. They think Rigondo is the greatest Cuban. The greatest Cuban. We have no idea what he would have gone on to do had he not defected, not once but twice, broke Fidel Castro's heart. He was the fighter-elect. The Cuban boxing captaincy was given by Castro to Teofilo Stevenson in about 1972. He passed it on 16 years later to Felix Savon. Felix Savon kept it for another 15, 16, 17 years and passed it on in about 2008, passed it on to Guillermo Rigondo. Rigondo then jumped over the wall, I think in Venezuela, dressed as a woman and absconded. He then went back to Cuba and then he had to escape again in a speedboat with some human traffickers from Mexico, taking him to Mexico and then eventually taking him over to Florida. Okay, his history is unbelievable. Is he the greatest Cuban of all time? It's possible. He's been a world champion on and off for 6 years, since 2010. He's been untouchable. He's got bored in some fights, so he's maybe dropped around, but he's never really been pushed. He's a bit surly. He needs to smile a bit more. The American public haven't warmed to him. But I tell you what he's done is he's chased fighters all over the place and he's made fighters abdicate. For instance, July the 27th was the deadline set 3 months ago for Carl Frampton to fight Guillermo Rigondo in defense of his WBA super bantamweight title. Carl Frampton dropped the WBA super bantamweight title in the bin and he's off to New York in a couple of weeks' time when he's moving up in weight to fight Leo Santa Cruz. So everyone has been running from Rigondo. Rigondo has challenged world champions from basically super flyweight to bantamweight to super bantam to featherweight. He's accusing the great Vasily Lomachenko of moving up in weight so that he avoids him at featherweight. Nobody wants to fight him. And what the managers of the fighters called nobody say is quite simple. They say the risk isn't worth the reward. He might be the greatest Cuban of all time. He might be one of the best modern fighters that there is. But the bottom line is you lose to him. You don't get paid enough money because he's not a big enough attraction. Jazza Dickens, by the way, is really angry with people that think that he's in a win-win situation, i.e. you get battered, you still get paid. If you win, then you're a hero forever. He said, if you have a win-win attitude, that means, and this is really importantly, that means you're saying it's okay to lose. Jazza's not. Jazza's in this fight to win. I don't think he can win. Will he give it a go? 100%. If we have a nasty Rigondo, and there's two Rigondos. There's a Rigondo that looks like he's bored and floats through the fights. And then there's the nasty Rigondo, the one that showed up a few years ago to stop Willie Casey in a world title fight, ended in the first round. I have a feeling we might see a nasty Rigondo at the weekend in Cardiff, and I think that's going to be bad news for Jazza. This could end quite quick. I'm thinking maybe even as early as about the third round.
Right. And the reason he's over here, Buncey, is he wants to put himself in front of the British public and force fights with the big British fighters. That's right, isn't it? He's not fighting Jazza Dickens because he's got a beeline to fight Jazza Dickens. He's the one who's put his hand up to fight him.
He's over here because he knows, and I'm not just saying this, but the British fight public, like the Irish fight public, we're the smartest boxing fans out there. We don't mind guys that use their brains, use their feet, and are clever. We love them. The rest of the world doesn't really warm to them. We love them. Guillermo Rigondo had been here 2 or 3 years ago. He'd be one of the top fighters in the world, as opposed to he'd be one of the top fighter attractions in the world as opposed to just being one of the top fighters. Yeah. I have a feeling he's going to show us how good he is and how nasty he can be against Jazza, who's going to be too great for his own good. Great to have Rigondo here. We've got Rigondo here. In 4 or 5 weeks' time, We get Golovkin against Kell Brook. Then the week after, we get Sol Canelo Alvarez against Liam Smith. How does that work?
It's amazing, isn't it? This guy, by the way, Rigondo, he challenged for his first interim world title after seven fights, pro fights, and then won the outright WBA title after nine fights, Buncey. And he's obviously picked up the WBO since then. And, you know, I think he picked up the vacant WBC last time out. So this guy is something. I can't wait to see him. It's like boxing royalty. Unfortunately for Jazza Dickens, like you said, it'll be him on the end of it. I mean, there's not many odds on Hill's page at the minute for this fight, but I think you'd be looking at a reasonable, you know, not too much of an odds on shot for him to stop him. I'm looking around about 8 to 13 for him to stop, win by stoppage here, Rigondo, which looks an unbelievable price.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you know, we haven't offered massive prices, but you put the three together and we've got a couple of...
Yeah. Let's finish off, Buncey, very quickly with a fight that's of interest because, one of these two fighters will end up fighting some of our heavyweights very soon. Deontay Wilder is fighting Chris Areola this weekend. Deontay Wilder, of course, is the WBC heavyweight title holder. People tend to forget that he holds one of these belts.
His
record is 36-0, 35 big KOs in there as well. Chris Areola was kind of on the crest of a wave a few years ago, around 2009, lost to Vitali Klitschko. Has a few losses since then, Buncey, hasn't he? His record reads 36 wins, 4 losses. He's been stopped twice, but he's got 31 KOs on his name now. Is Chris Areola a really good heavyweight opponent these days?
Yeah, Chris Areola is a really good heavyweight opponent. If he wasn't fighting Wilder, he could easily be imported to fight Anthony Joshua. Nothing wrong with Chris Areola at all. He's a big boy. He's a big boy, sorts himself out. I mean, he's a tough nut. Wilder I like. I think Wilder's a lot better than anyone gives him credit for. Wilder will win this. Whether he has to go the distance again, he's only been the distance once. Whether that happens, I'm not so sure. I think he can get to him. Can he knock Areola out? I'm not so sure. Can he end up dropping Areola when he catches him a few times? Absolutely he can. I think he'll get to Areola by about round 7 or 8. And it could be quite one-way traffic until then. I think he's too fast at the moment for Areola.
The price is looking at 1-25 for Wilder, 33-1 the draw, and Areola 10-1. All the different rounds available here, Buncey. You've got group round betting again. You pick three rounds for us.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for that 6-7-8.
Yeah, you're looking around 4-1 for that to happen then.
Not the end of the world, that's someone, a guy that stops everybody.
Not bad at all. Buncey, thank you very much. Enjoy enjoy Rigondo on the box this weekend. I know you'll be keeping us entertained on Box Nation as well, and we'll speak to Buncey very soon for all those other fantastic fights on the horizon. Cheers, Buncey.
Lee, thanks, mate. See you later.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.